Good morning and welcome to the More Than Money radio program, your home for explanations. This is Daryl Oaken, sitting in for Gene Dickison this morning with my trusty sidekick, Mr. Bill Maughan. Good morning.
Good morning, Daryl. How are you today?
I am outstanding. What could be better than a crisp fall morning?
I'm loving it.
The drive in was just fabulous. It was just, you look outside, what's not to like? God is with us. Where it just doesn't get any better than that.
And I get to try out my new leaf blower.
I was gonna say, I know you.
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, and where you live, you probably got some serious leaf blowing to do there.
I do. I mean, it could wait, you know, because it's only a little like kind of a dusting.
Well, and you got that like man eater of a snow leaf blower. You could blow the leaves off the trees if you had to.
Right. I went in and I said, you know what? I would like the biggest, most powerful leaf blower the world has ever known. I did. And he said, I've got just the thing. It was actually, you could say brand names, right?
Sure, why not?
It was a Stihl, S-T-I-H-L.
Yeah.
I did my homework. That's about, as far as I can tell, that's about as good as you can get. And I've been putting it off for years. And because they require a little bit of maintenance and care.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, especially with the gas now that ruins these things.
Right. But I decided I was up to the task.
Well, and I know you're, you know, anal enough to make sure that you do all the right things to keep that snow, the leaf. I keep calling it a snowblower. Leaf, you probably could blow snow with it.
I bet you could. Up to 3 or 4 inches, I bet.
Yeah, there you go. So you'll get a lot of those. So you get a lot of use out of that. But no, it's a wonderful Saturday morning. Welcome to the show. And thanks for spending the morning with us. Grab your cup of coffee, whatever it is, and if, you know, before you get out there and enjoy this beautiful day, spend some time with us. Hopefully, we'll can give you some insights into the things more than money. We'll talk about money, but we'll talk about more than money as well. I think we have a pretty good show lined up for you. Again, it helps if we have call-ins, and feel free to call in. We will try and do our best Gene Dickison imitation and give you the answers that we think are best. He will undoubtedly do it better than we do, but we certainly can give you at least opinions. They'll be our opinions, but at least give them to you. Join us at 610-720-7900. And you can also, if you don't want to join us on the air, I can't take your email here live. But if you want to email me and I can respond to you during the week, Daryl@askmtm.com. That's D-A-R-Y-L, because I know there are multiple spellings to that name. I've been told that's the female version of the name. I have no idea. I never looked at it that way. Daryl@askmtm.com. Also, check out our website, More Than Money. Online, go to our website, see us, see who we are and what we're about. It's a great new website. Some changes have been made. I'm sure a lot of you have been out there checking it out. It's a great website. You can learn a lot of things. You can even listen to past shows. If you go into the archives, you can hear Bill and I a couple of times. Well, I know you really rather listen to the Gene Show, but we are listed out there. All of the back shows. So if you miss something, very easy to go back and do that. But you can also join us live if you feel led. 610-720-7900. I think our show today, a couple things we got lined up for us. We want to talk throughout the show. We'll talk a little bit about Social Security. There are some announcements about Social Security, and we can dissect that a little bit about what it means, possibly for you, but certainly for anybody who's thinking about going on Social Security or getting to the age of Social Security, and also if you're already on and collecting your Social Security benefits. We'll talk a little bit about risk versus volatility. That should be interesting. And then there are some industry proposals by our self-regulatory body that we kind of live by, and not kind of, we do, we must live by, some rules and regulation changes that they're going to introduce to make sure that you, the customer, are most protected. So we'll talk a little bit about some of those things and what they mean. So those are some of the things to look forward to here in the show. Again, you have Daryl Okin, Bill Maughan. We'll be your host today on the More Than Money radio show, and we'll talk about more than money, a little bit of everything. But let's start off with here in the beginning. Let's talk a little bit. Well, first of all, you were away last weekend, right?
Oh yes, I was away.
Yeah, this is very interesting. This is good stuff.
Right. My wife and I, we can never take 2 weeks off and go somewhere. I can't remember when I last did that. But we like those.
Me either.
what they called in the military, the 96, the four-day weekend.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things we do is we get in a little habit of, you know, in the fall, because it's such a beautiful time of year, we do a little time away, get away that includes a little history or maybe a little art, something like that. So this time,
you're getting a little culture in your old age.
Sure.
Here,
this time went down to the Washington D.C. area, and on Friday we spent the day at the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation. That was very exciting for me. My wife insisted that she wanted to go.
Now, my wife would not find that very exciting. Although, she might, though, because, you know, she'd have never seen it. But she knows that when I get into a museum or a place like that, I look at everything. It takes me hours.
Yeah. Jane planned that one because I had been there when my son got at a Marine Corps OCS. I went down and picked him up. I drove him home and we stopped there. At that day, Marine Corps stuff was probably about the last thing he wanted to see, but we went there and I talked it up. So she said, I have to see this place. So we spent the whole day there and it was incredible.
It wasn't her first choice though, was it?
She said it was.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go with that.
I'll go with that. She's great. Second day, Mount Vernon. Hadn't been there since I was 10 years old.
There's a lot of places you can go on vacation, things you can do, but I find, and I haven't been to Mount Vernon. I want to go there sometime, but you know, I've been to some of the other places, and I find them fascinating every time I go to one. But
right, long story. Mount Vernon fell into disrepair. You know, George Washington didn't have any direct descendants. Martha died shortly after he did. And it kind of went to nephews and then went to nephews and nephews. And by right about the time of the Civil War, it was entirely run down. You know,
it's amazing. A lot of these, like, you know, Jefferson's Place and Madison's Place, they all kind of went that way.
Right. And it was bought by an organization of women. And forgive me, I forget the name because they've done this incredible job. It's a beautiful place. You can spend the whole day there because it's many, many, many buildings. They have a memorial. They have the slave quarters and a memorial to the slaves. That's kind of moving. The mansion itself is extraordinary. A lot of George Washington's original stuff, his paintings are on the wall, some of the furniture, some of the vases, the mantles, things like that.
So even though it was in disrepair, they still kept a lot of the the old stuff.
Right. They put it back together. And they had a museum there, and you know, it's kind of immersed in the man's mind as much as you can, you know. And I walked away with a sense of gratitude, as I always do whenever I touch on the founding fathers.
Yeah,
you know that it has to be used to call it providence, nature's God. You know, put all these guys together, these incredibly just one in a million guys together in the same place and time that they were able to do what they did. Had fantastic minds.
Yeah. Oh, they did, and they put us. They put us to shame. You know, here, 200 years later. We have so much more available to us, but we don't take advantage of it. They did, in just a huge way. They took so much more advantage of so much less.
Right. A disciplined man, even in. Yeah, you know, he was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he went down the back staircase to his private study, and no one was allowed to interrupt him till he came out.
Yeah, till he decided.
Right? And every day he was immersed in correspondence and in books. They read. They never stopped educating themselves. That's the one thing you find in common when you go into the lives of any of the founders.
Yeah.
Never stopped reading.
Well, that's one of the things that I know, you know, we talk about it a lot. I want to do more of that. I know you want to do more of that, especially some of the classics and things like that. But, you know, when you go to a place like Mount Vernon, you know, our first president, you know how many people today can't tell you who the first president of the United States was?
Yeah, I know.
So they don't even know who he was. Why would I want to go to Mount Vernon? Well, who's George Washington? They don't even know. That's sad. That's sad. But, you know, when you really go to a place like that, see what's there, see what they did, learn about what happened and where their mind was. Washington had an incredibly sharp mind. He was a lot of people, I don't think, credit him for, I don't know, being one of the intellectuals of the, you know, you talk about Adams and Jefferson and probably Madison and a whole bunch of other people, Franklin. But Washington doesn't come up. He comes up more as the military guy.
Right.
Not necessarily one of the, like a brainiac kind of guy, but he was.
He certainly was. And he was a little bit self-conscious about it because he was not formally educated.
Another astounding thing.
You know, he had an older half-brother, Lawrence, who went to England for education. And then right about it was time to, you know, Lawrence was done and to tee George up, their father died.
Ooh.
You know, so there was no chance for any formal education. He was self-conscious about it, and it probably spurred on his discipline about education. Because you got to think about him at the Continental Congress. They were some of the most educated American.
Absolutely. I mean, today, if any of us stood there with the folks who were in the Continental Congress, we'd be like cowering in the back room like a church mouse. I mean, those are some of the most intelligent people. They were, you know, they were regular people, I think, but they were gargantuan minds. They were, you know, the most intelligent people of the day, and he didn't just hold his own; he was one of them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's amazing. You know, I love that stuff. I know maybe other people find it
Monticello
boring.
Next year.
Been to Monticello, and I could talk long and hard about Monticello. Love going there. Been there twice. Would go again. In fact, I'm going to Virginia in a week or so. I don't know if we'll make it to Monticello again, but I wouldn't mind doing it. And it's amazing because my wife, who hates going to museums and things like that, doesn't mind going to Monticello and would go again. That's how good that place is. You'll enjoy it. Highly recommend it for anybody who is thinking about doing something related to our history and wants to take a nice trip and do something valuable with it. Anyway, spent a lot of this week catching up on taxes, believe it or not. There was a tax deadline this week. The all extensions for our individual tax returns were due October 15th for all the procrastinators who, for whatever reason, some legitimate, some just not so legitimate, couldn't get their stuff together. And of course, even though folks extend their returns, they think they have an extra automatic 6 months. So they when do they all come in? About 5.5 months later. just to, you know, you think, well, now I have more time, but it doesn't give me more time because I just got to do it in the last couple of days. But I think that's human nature. So I spent a lot of the week kind of like head down, getting those things done, making sure things are filed on time, not rejected, making sure, you know, on the electronic side and that kind of thing, and making sure everybody's taken care of, because it really is your last chance to get your tax return filed timely. So didn't spend a lot of time looking at what's going on market-wise. I was aware but not into it. But I thought we'd spend some time, and I know, Bill, the economist that you are at heart, I think probably could talk a little bit about what went on this week.
It looks like, and I am not an expert on this, the market did some consolidating, which is to say, you know, after periods of big moves up, big moves down, we had a respectable trading volume where it just moved a couple of points every day. That often, I'm not expert enough to say, but that often says it's found a level, you know, that it's happy with, and it's consolidating. going forward.
Now, when you say consolidating,
tightening up. Remember all those big mm-hmm. swings? You know what I mean? I mean, it moved 1,000 points.
Yeah. Oh, in one day.
Down, and it opened up at that. Remember that mm-hmm. day?
Yeah. I do. I remember exactly where I was.
And then you know, but those of us who've been in the business a long time, have experienced that on a number of occasions. And then
we did lock the windows, though, didn't we?
Yeah. Then it fights its way back up in a few hundred points a day, and then it trades off back because the you know some of that fight up was the traders trying to make money. They
make
take
sure.
short term profits, and then it swings back down. So, I one way to look at it, like consolidation, is that the technical aspects and the trading aspects take a backseat to valuation,
mm-hmm.
which is what the market's supposed to be about. I mean, what are these stocks really worth? What are these companies
right.
really worth? And the fundamental analysts begin to push the technical analysts and traders out. That's just my perspective on what consolidating mm-hmm. is. Other people would have other definitions.
Oh, yeah. No, I throw that out. I mean, just because we say consolidate. Sometimes we use terms, you know. I don't know that people always know what we're talking about with terms. By the way, you're on you're listening to the More Than Money radio program. This is Daryl Okun sitting in for Gene Dickerson. We're here with Bill Maughan. It's a good time for us to also talk about an event that a live event that More Than Money will be at. Gene will be hosting on Saturday, October 24th. There's a fundraiser. Bill, why don't you walk us through what this is all about? There's a fundraiser. We're going to be doing a live event there, and tell us about it. The Through These Hands is the charity where we're doing this for.
Right. Through Our Hands, Through These Hands is
Through
a
These Hands. I'm sorry.
501c3 nonprofit organization. What they do is they collect medical and non-medical supplies, and they donate primarily, but not exclusively, to hospitals and clinics in developing countries. And they do that with a fundraiser craft sale. It was I can't believe it's been a year. That was my first MTM event a year ago this weekend.
You've aged a year. You look like it.
I have. And it was great. You owe it to yourself next Saturday, if you've got the time and you want to help a worthy cause, to go to the Through These Hands fundraiser craft sale. It's Saturday, October 24th. It's between 9 and 3 at the Family Life Center at Bethany Wesleyan Church. That's in Cherryville, Pennsylvania. Bethany Wesleyan Church, 675 Blue Mountain Drive in Cherryville, Pennsylvania. Gene will be broadcasting live.
Always fun.
All right, always live. And it is huge. It's at least as big as a gym, the place. It's a modern building. And these are some great people at the Bethany Wesleyan Church. And there are crafts. And this is not cheap stuff. I mean, there is some beautiful stuff. I didn't intend to this day last year, but I got some Christmas shopping done.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
You know, there was stuff there. You know, go into it. There's a lady that hand painted, you know, enamel Christmas tree ornaments, and you know, there's a usual
nice.
Array of knitted stuff and Afghan stuff.
And it's a great cause.
Woodwork, I mean, and stuff. Right.
What they do.
They're looking for sponsors. They're looking for co-sponsors. That sort of things. And you
where
know,
can people go for more information on that?
Where can they go? They can call I do not have a phone number on this.
Well, they certainly could call us up at the office. I'm sure we could give them the information.
Sure. Yep. And it's the Through These Hands organization.
You certainly can look that up online, too, I'm sure.
In Catasauqua, Pennsylvania.
And they do great work with all that that medical equipment that
right.
you know, for people who need it.
Donations are obviously tax deductible.
501c3.
A great refreshment program.
Nice.
Number of different things, hot stuff and cold stuff. And they're just great people. You'll meet a lot of people. A
number of our clients are involved with it, and it's a great cause.
Okay.
So, again, this is Bill Maughan and Daryl Okun on More Than Money. Please join us if you have questions about anything in your financial or life in general, the business of your life, 610-720-7900. We were just talking a bit about the economy and what's gone on this week.
In preparation for this show, valued listeners, I read five different economic outlooks this week. Picked them up yesterday, the end of the week. And I think the one thing that struck me was the consistency of the opinions. So what I'm going to tell you now is basically my opinion of what the consistent opinions were, and we don't have enough time left in this segment to cover all of it, but
we'll carry it over. It's good stuff. We should do. We can do some more in the after the break as well.
Yeah, they tried to provide an after the fact analysis of why the market did what it did over this summer, and that really is always valuable because it helps you learn for the future. And it was an overreaction to China, primarily a real fear. And we learned that we are not so dependent economically on China as the fears would lead us to believe. And always interest rates. Everyone's terrified about interest rates. And the market can't deal with the uncertainty. And the dithering at the Fed is crazy. But every single one of those five economic outlets said they were willing to bet we would see a rate increase in December. Hmm. And then went home yesterday and saw in the news someone said otherwise, but I'll go with the five I read, and they say we've got to. It is certainly overdue. Any economist would say this free money out there, it's not good in the long run, and it just fuels inflation. It devalues currency, even though the U.S. dollar is high. There's a price to be paid someday for all this free money, as well as there is for all this government borrowing. And it doesn't do well for dollar valuations or inflation.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Well, they talk about interest rates and interest rates going up. Do we think, is there any talk about, do you think that, and we've said this before, is it built into kind of the market has kind of already absorbed that, knowing that interest rates are going to raise?
Yes. And that's part of that overall consensus, that the market, the overwhelming number of valuation buyers and economists say we're going to have a rate increase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That definitely know the direction, and the time is probably by the end of this year.
Right.
And so they base their valuations on stock accordingly. So what that means is that even though there is often or logically you would think when there is an interest rate increase that there will be a trading off in the market. Because money got more expensive,
right?
You know, and we are a capitalist society. Since it'll get built in, that is less likely to happen when the rate increase comes.
So it may the fear that interest rates rising could affect our stock market in a really negative way may already be. Again, I'm no predictor of the future, as is nobody else is either. But it's very likely that that's already been built in because there's been so much talk about it for so long.
And it's going to be a small increase. Whatever it is, it's going to be very small.
Yeah, I don't think we get ready to start buying CDs.
No.
Laddering your CDs like we did.
We may not see that world in our lifetimes ever again.
It's a long way up to get to that point where that's a good play. But So there's that. What else do we have for this week? What else did they tell you?
Well, valuations, which is what stock markets are based on in the long term, are based on earnings and anticipated future earnings. And the earnings have been mixed. There's some companies that disappointed. I won't go over the individual ones. I have them in front of me, but I don't want to incur the risk of recommending individual stocks over the...
Which we never do.
No, we don't do that. But we see that earnings are mixed and that value has outperformed. I will still bet on value over growth any day. A lot of people are recommending international. And we'll talk about more about that in the next segment. I would have to say the overwhelming number of, economic forecasters out there recommending international. I have a bias on that. Okay.
Not you.
This is just me. This is not Daryl. This is not Gene. This is not More Than Money, the Strategic Financial Alliance, or anybody else. But this is me. Okay. As a proper portfolio allocation should include a segment from the international stocks. And that makes sense because it is, after all, a big piece of the global economy, and it will take its turn moving forward. But my feeling is when you buy my favorite sectors, large cap growth and value, you're going to get a lot of international exposure.
Absolutely right.
I have traveled all over the world. I love saying that. I've traveled all over the world, and I see Exxon signs, and I see Coca-Cola signs, and I see IBM signs, and I see, you know, General Electric and Johnson & Johnson, just to name a few I've seen overseas. And those are all kind of blue chip American companies.
Well, when you think about it, look at the growth of some of those companies. How have they been able to sustain growth? We've got an economy that's at best struggling. How are they able to show growth? Well, they go overseas and they pick up their growth over there, and they do what they did here. So a lot of people, a lot of companies have looked at that as their growth engine. So
I'm inclined, I feel my opinion, just me. Well, that you want your international exposure, you buy large cap American companies, and you get international exposure at the right level in the right way, run by American management.
With some intelligence behind it, so that it's not just willy-nilly huge risk-taking that some of the pure international stuff is.
And America's best interest is sort of first and foremost, and that's what I'm all about.
I'm there too, Patriot.
All right.
All right. How much time do we have left there, John? We got heading down to 1 minute. Okay, you're here with us this morning, this beautiful Saturday morning, with the More Than Money radio program. This is Darrell Okun and Bill Maughan. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to talk about some Social Security things, probably touch a little bit more on the economy. We got a lot of other things to talk about here. I'm sure we'll fill the hour and with things interesting to you. Please join us live on the air, 610-720-7900, if you want to be part of the show. We encourage you to do that. It helps make the show a little bit better. And so it's not just all my opinion, Bill's opinion, but please do that. We're coming up against the break right here. We'll be back after this with More Than Money. Again, this is Darrell Okun, along with Bill Maughan, filling in for Gene Dickison on the More Than Money radio program. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening on this beautiful day. I really can't blame you if you're out there enjoying this weather and not listening to us, but if you're hearing this, you are listening to us, and we appreciate that so, so much. Again, Darrell Okun and Bill Maughan as your hosts. You can join us, 610-720-7900. In the last segment, we talked about an event, a live event that Gene's going to be doing on October 24th, which is next weekend.
Yes, it is.
Next Saturday. It's going to be a live show up in Cherryville. I want to go over it because Doreen was kind enough to call in and tell us how you can find out more information about Through These Hands, which is a wonderful 501c3 organization. What that means is it's a charitable organization which you can make tax-deductible donations to. They do great things. They collect medical supplies and non-medical supplies, and they give it to hospitals and deliver it to hospitals in developing countries. And it's something that's developed over time. It's just a fabulous thing, and supporting it is something that we here at More Than Money encourage you all to do, if at all possible. The way to get a hold of them, you can call them at 610-428-2786, 610-428-2786, or you can contact them at their website. So all one word, Through These Hands at Juno, JUNO.com. So Through These Hands at Juno.com, or give them a call. And thank you, Doreen, for calling in. We didn't have that information on our little promo sheet here, and we appreciate you doing that so that we can let people know how to get a hold of you and support this wonderful, wonderful cause.
And if you don't have a dime to spend, you can still enjoy the day. As I said, it was a lot of fun, and it's worth the experience. You'll see Gene broadcast live at the Family Life Center at Bethany Wesleyan Church, 675 Blue Mountain Drive in Cherryville, Pennsylvania.
He'd love to see you. Stop by and say hello while he's on the – he loves that. And again, that email address, throughthesehands@juno.com or 610-428-2786. If you are so inclined to join us, 610-720-7900. This is Bill Maughan and Daryl Okun sitting in for Gene. We will answer your questions if you have them. If not, we will prattle on about all kinds of new things that we think are important. So if you don't call in, you get what we give you, which, I don't know, I think is important. A lot of people tell us it is. They also may be just telling me that because they don't want me to feel bad when they see me after the show. But a couple of things we said we would cover, some Social Security things. We have a couple things left over from, possibly on the economic front. We want to talk about Social Security. We want to talk about an interesting topic, volatility and risk, risk tolerances. And then finally, some industry regulation things. If we get to that, we'd really love to. So we'd really love for you to join us, if at all possible, on the air. And in the meantime, what else? What did we leave off from talking about the economic stuff? Are we...
Talk about two big factors. We want to touch on them real quick.
Let's do it.
Oil and inflation, because they're big macro indicators in the markets, and they will affect things. Oil, the price of oil dropped dramatically. It's anybody's guess whether that's permanent or temporary, and I won't go on to that, and I'm not even qualified, but it dropped dramatically.
Or if it was manufactured
and
drops.
So what happens then is that companies who are, you know, trading in oil, exploring for oil, that kind of thing, they don't do well. All right. So that's your first initial thing. Those big oil fields in the Dakotas that you may have heard about where they were really great jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't pay to tap new wells for some of these companies or whatever. So that part of the economy gets hurt a little bit. But long term, it's a product, it's a commodity that is a need for so many businesses, and if the price drops, all right, their margins are going to increase. Either their prices will drop or they'll get that much more profitable. So for many, many other industries, a drop in oil is like Christmas. So if you're oil intensive, which can be manufacturing, transportation,
or heating your home,
right? Well, and that's the thing too about something like oil. Everybody heats their home. And
right.
if your home is a small craft shop or a lamp repair shop, you have heat.
Yes,
your
you
costs
do.
Will be reduced. Everybody's costs go down long term. So when the price of oil went down, you know, the initial thing was great relief at the gas pump. I don't know
sure.
about you.
Oh, are you kidding me?
But a great – and then I filled out my home fuel and things like that.
Perfect timing.
You know, perfect timing for that. So that's a positive thing. But then you hear companies like – that deal in oil exploration or
– well, sure, that segment of the economy.
They got hurt
right
away.
So there's a balance.
So then they start pulling the market down. That's irrational.
Yes.
Because everybody else is going to do well.
You know what else is irrational? When oil prices went up and they were just skyrocketing, oh, the price of food is going to go through the roof because truck the stuff there. And so what happened? All food prices at the food store, we all noticed that. Food got way more expensive. Well, now oil prices have gone down. Gas prices have gone down. But did you see the food prices go down?
Not yet.
Oh, so you're still hopeful.
Always hopeful.
I don't know. I never saw it go down. So I'm wondering if any of that stuff is just a whole bunch of – I mean, it makes sense, right? It's going to cost more to get your goods and services to the store. So theoretically, those goods and services are going to be more expensive. But I'd like to see it go the other way once in a while when
right.
it gets cheaper to bring it there, bring them food prices down. But anyway, it's just I digress.
The last thing, and then you can stop listening to me for a while, is inflation. And that will help segue into what Daryl's going to cover next about what happened with Social Security this week. But I'll just say this. It's anybody's guess about inflation. The Fed, federal government, and a number of others said inflation is all but dead due to the low interest rates out there. And the way they measure it through CPI and everything else, inflation is low. And a lot of things we do economically is, and if you're my age, you remember when inflation was a daily basis. There's a psychological fear about inflation all the time. And generally, it's just considered to be a non-issue for the present time. My long-term feeling, an economic analyst, is that all this free money and all this borrowing's got to have an inflationary effect someday, but the indicators are not anytime soon. So inflation is at bay, it's caged up, it's on a leash. And that brings us to what happened to Social Security.
Yeah, it does. Because a lot of those things that you're talking about directly impact the Social Security thing. And certainly for our older listeners, our retired folks, which is becoming a bigger segment of our population, of course, these things are top of the mind awareness, and everybody was waiting with bated breath to see what was going to happen this week with Social Security, because this is the time of year that by law they've got to talk about what the impact of inflation and other factors are going to be on Social Security. Now, it doesn't only affect seniors. We'll get into that. But the first thing I know seniors are wondering about, and I'm sure they're well aware of it. I don't have to tell them. But there's not going to be a cost of living increase in your Social Security paycheck this year. And I know a lot of people are upset about that. And they're upset about the reasons why, because, you know, a lot of it is it's dictated by law, actually. By law, the way Social Security is increased is using the Consumer Price Index. But it's a specific one. And until there's a law that changes how Social Security benefits are indexed, this is the law you have to live with. It's the Consumer Price Index -W, so it's CPIW, and that's the index that's used to say, do we have an increase in Social Security benefits? CPIW is geared towards or is built on the working class, more of a working class basket of goods, what somebody who's working might buy in the course of a week. So why would we use that? That would be somebody who's working. So the basket of goods and services that somebody who's working might buy is being used to index what a retired person on a fixed income, whether they're going to get an increase. So what's in the basket of goods and services that a working class person might have? Well, it's going to be food, big piece towards food. If they have a family, it's going to be energy costs. It's going to be all of those things. An elderly person, someone on Social Security, may have more concern about health care. So what's gone on in those two different things? On the basket of goods and services that includes food, certainly food, but energy, things that a younger person might buy, those things have gone down, particularly the energy piece. So the CPIW has actually been flat year over year. But we know that healthcare costs have increased dramatically. We know that. For you say, okay, well, that's a nice thing to say. You don't like Obamacare and all the rest of it. I do believe that that's true, but why else would they have moved Medicare Part B, which is part of your Social Security, why would they increase that cost if medical costs were not increasing? So if you need a verification of that, there it is. The government's telling us that costs are higher, so because they're charging you more for your health care benefits. So the thing that by law they have to use to give you your increase is not indicative of what an elderly person or a person on Social Security, fixed income, might need, and therefore it's out of whack because your costs, your real cost for that, the group that is getting Social Security, has gone up, has increased, while the cost of goods and services for a worker might be artificially low because of the drastic decrease in the cost of energy. So, long explanation, but that's what it is. And unfortunately, that's by law. It's not the government turning around and saying, "Hey, I want to screw seniors," or "I want to screw people on fixed income." They have a law, and that's how it's done. So that's the first group of people that are impacted. And then you say, okay, well, that's only for seniors. So, I'm people on Social Security. I'm not. I'm 50 years old. I'm 30 years old. Who cares? And these things have impacts on other people as well. The maximum earnings that they're going to take Social Security out of on anybody's salary remains the same because it's tied to the same index. So the same $118,500 that it was last year is the same $118,500 this year. So if your earnings are $118,000 or less, you will be taxed. You'll be taxed on Social Security. That number hasn't grown. So that's kind of a double whammy. It's great for the person who's still working if you're making more than $118,500. it's funny, but and we'll get to that in a minute. But so that number has stayed the same. So it's great for you. But that means less money is actually being generated for the Social Security system for people who really need more on the other side. So I don't know how that works for Social Security. The other thing that stays the same for Social Security in the long run, I don't know that it's good if we are truly running out of money at some point. It's not good that more money isn't being put in, I guess. The other thing that stays the same is the maximum earnings before your Social Security benefits either become taxable let's leave it at that. Before your earnings become taxable, $15,720 for an individual. That's roughly $31,000 plus if you're married. So that number doesn't change either based on this consumer price index model that the federal government uses. So let me just jump back to that $118,500. Mm-hmm. Can you remember a time when you hit the Social Security max?
I can.
And you could calculate when that was going to happen.
Yep.
During the year.
Mm-hmm. It was a much lower number.
Well, of course, when Social Security was first devised, it was they were only going to take, 2% of your first, $1,000 of earnings or something like that, and it was going to be put away for you. You know, it's your money. We're just gonna keep it for you over here in the United States Treasury land. It's got your name on it. Don't worry about it. But now we're talking about 7.5% of $118,000. You talk to the millennials today and ask them about the Social Security max. They don't know what it is.
Right.
Why? Because they've never reached it.
Right. Most people don't.
Most people now don't. Where it used to be that most people did. By May of the year, even the lower income earners in the country reached the Social Security max by midway through the year. Now almost nobody does.
This is progressivism. I hate the way the socialists on the left have hijacked that word.
This is Bernie Sanders.
Okay. Like 2% of your first 1,000, and that's all it's going to be. So they get everyone to go along with it. They always increase it. They always increase it. We did not have an income tax in this country until 1913.
Right.
People don't know. We did not have an income tax. We didn't. It was considered unconstitutional.
That's right.
You know, and if you look in the body of the Constitution, it pretty much says you can't tax earnings. Our founding fathers, we go back to that all the time,
we do.
Thought that was in effect right to tax labor was in effect to enslave a man incrementally.
Yes. That sounds like progressivism.
It is.
Progressive, incremental.
So to get this amendment passed, they said, listen to what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Just a couple of percentage points for the very highest earners. That's all.
That's it.
That's the only people going to pay this.
Because the rich have got to pay their fair share.
Right. And so 99% of Americans aren't going to pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
And even the top, 1 or 2% are only going to pay a couple of percentage points.
And what's that to them?
And it's not ever going to be any more. That's going to be more than enough money.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
As long as people don't live past 55. But
no. Now, not just federal income tax, but between the Social Security tax you just mentioned, the federal income tax, the state income tax, your real estate tax, your sales tax, your excise taxes, look at your cell phone bill, look at your energy bill. 50%, 50 cents of every dollar earned by an American goes to taxes of some kind.
Yeah, and I think that's being generous.
That's your real tax rate, America, 50%.
Think about that.
All taxes put together. Okay? So that started with just a couple of percentage points for the very highest earners.
Of course.
Progressivism is exactly that. That's the camel's nose under the tent.
Camel's nose under the tent. I haven't heard that one. That's but no, it is, and that's what's insidious about the whole program. And you know, interest rates are not going up. If they are, they're going up only slightly. So folks on those fixed incomes were really count on this cost of living increase in the Social Security system to say, hey, listen, so I can keep up with inflation. So now if I'm a person on Social Security and I know my interest rates aren't going anywhere, and the government isn't giving me any additional increases in my Social Security, I've lost ground. And, you know, it's there probably are ways to fix it. One is to use a different CPI index, one that actually – and they have them, which that's what's amazing to me. They have CPI indexes that cater to the retired folks.
I have a question on something that you touched on real quick, and I've never quite understood, and I'm sure some of our listeners don't either. We talk about people receiving Social Security, they have max outside earnings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what happens?
Well, a couple things happen. One is depending on whether you've taken early retirement or not. But one of the things that happens is if you've taken retirement before your full retirement age, if you make over that $15,000 or $30,000 as a couple, part of your income, part of your Social Security tax, part of your Social Security income is going to be taxed. And there's also a penalty that says they're going to reduce your benefits. Okay, so when they say that, it sounds ominous. They're going to take it away. They're going to take some of your Social Security benefits away. $1 for every $2 that you make over that max. What ends up happening really is they postpone that and they add it in to your full after your full retirement age. But what they're saying is listen, if you're 62, you took early retirement, you're taking your Social Security, and you're making more than $15,000 a year. What you're saying is that you really didn't need to retire and collect those benefits. So we're going to postpone them for you. And what it is, it's just a way for them to keep the money longer in their coffers and not pay it out is really what it comes down to. So there's two things that happen depending on whether you're at full retirement age or not. One, they start taking your dollar, you're reducing your benefit, $1 for every $2 you make. The other one is your Social Security income becomes taxable. So that's a real impact. Now, I mean, it's a good thing that they didn't raise that. It's not a good thing. They didn't raise that number because of the CPI index. So you're out there. My benefits didn't go up. And now I know I may have to go out there and work. But the limit has stayed the same, too, on what I can make. They didn't bring that up so that I can keep up with inflation. They kept that the same. So it's kind of like the double whammy on that, if you kind of picture that.
I get it.
So it's a great question. I don't pretend to be the expert on Social Security. We have Mark from the Social Security Administration does such a great job. He's our expert. We go to him all the time, but from what I know, those are the two things. And you know, the biggest thing is somebody wakes up and finds their Social Security benefits are being taxed.
That's painful.
So we're coming to the top of the hour already. We're having so much fun. This is Daryl Okun. I'm here with Bill Maughan, sitting in for Gene Dickinson on the More Than Money program. Again, if you'd like to join us, 610-720-7900. We're going to be taking a break here in a few minutes, and we'll get down to the second hour. Hopefully you can join us and stay with us. We'd love to have you. We got some other great things to talk about. It's never been a problem for us to make a show out of a couple of things. So we'll be back after the break with more than money.